Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That's me.
Haven't seen Carrie, have you?
Who?
American girl, lovely legs. Wedding guest, nice smell.
No, haven't seen her. Alrighty then. As I promised, I have a swell Q&A show in store for you today. I have a whole bunch of very interesting correspondents vying for their moment in the sun, so to speak, and each one is ready to share his or her sex and relationship concerns with us, and I will do my level best to make my responses informative, enriching, and maybe even a little entertaining. However, before we begin, a word from our sponsor. This week's podcast is brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com.
Another glass of whiskey and a cigar. Hold on, make that a bottle of whiskey. We might as well settle in, eh? Let's see if we can push on through till dawn, shall we?
I like where you're going with that. All right, sex fans, our sponsor today is me. Think of this as our very own fall pledge drive. You see, I want to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to support and underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows. Interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse sex-positive programming? And all of it always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to either one of my sites, Dr. Dick Sex Advice, .com or DrDickSexToyReviews.com and look for the donate button. It's a blue heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do. However, those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift, excellent personal lube, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming.
I was at school with his brother, Bufty, tremendous bloke. He was head of my house. Buggered me senseless. Still, taught me a thing or two about life.
Funny how buggering does that. But you're not going to continue to talk throughout the whole show, are you? Okay, before we move on, I want to acknowledge three recent contributors. They are Peter from Knoxville, Tennessee, with a contribution of $25, Annie from Chicago, my hometown, with a contribution of $25, and Terrence from Santa Barbara, California, with a contribution of $50. Thanks, everyone. Okay, on with the show. So, before we mosey on over to the big voicemail machine and see what's happening there, I have a couple of announcements. First up today, I want to tell you a little bit about DrDickSexAdvice.com's website redesign. It was long overdue, and I'm pleased to have had the opportunity during our last summer break to spruce things up a bit. Our logo remains the same, but I reconfigured the pages. A particular note is the podcast archive drop-down menu. Now you can go directly to each of my four podcast series: The Erotic Mind, Sex Wisdom, Sex Education, and the Play With It shows. All the Q&A shows, like today's, are lumped under the general heading Podcast. The Toy Reviews tab takes you to DrDickSexToyReviews.com. The Video Library tab takes you to the Dr. Dick How-To Video Library, just as it always has. And the About Dr. Dick page is now a drop-down menu, which contains the contact page, the Got a Sex Question page, the Therapy Available page, and the Buzz page. Sadly, I had to deactivate the Lickety Split Sex Advice podcast voicemail hotline. It was underused, and it was also very expensive. You will also notice that the site's sidebar has been cleaned up considerably. The clutter is gone, and I think it looks really nice as is. So go take a look and see what you think, and send me your comments after you've had an opportunity to take a look around. Next, I want to call your attention to my latest book, The Gospel of Kink, A Modern Guide to Asking for What You Want and Getting What You Ask For, which has just been published. You'll find it on Amazon and in all your favorite bookstores. Kindle and Nook versions are coming soon. The Gospel of Kink is a workshop in book form. Its innovative and interactive format presents the reader with numerous situations and dilemmas that arise as people embrace their kinkiness and integrate their eroticism into their daily lives. The Gospel of Kink is on the cutting edge of the sex-positive and kink-aware movements. This workbook helps the reader break free from the painful silence the dominant culture imposes on alt-culture and those of us on the sexual fringe. The Gospel of Kink provides an opportunity to learn from people just like you. Its on-the-page workshop features a group of 10 fictional characters who are your fellow participants. In addition, it includes a panel of actual, seasoned, kinky BDSM and alt-cultural practitioners who share their expertise and life experience with you. The Gospel of Kink engages you with numerous exercises and homework. As a workshop participant, you will complete a personal alt relationship inventory, discuss the essentials of effective communication, identify tools and techniques for navigating alt relationship conflicts, and learn how to keep things fresh and interesting. The Gospel of Kink provides a safe and secure place for you to air your concerns without fear of being judged for who you are, how you live your life, and with whom you choose to live it. You will learn within a framework of honesty, activity, alliance, support, and humor. The Gospel of Kink is a workbook designed primarily for the modern kinkster, but not exclusively. Family, friends, healing and helping professionals, teachers, students, indeed anyone who wishes to further understand and better communicate with those they know on the sexual fringe will benefit from this book. Here's a tip. There's a 13-page preview of The Gospel of Kink on Amazon.com. And I'm proud to say that the early buzz about the book is very positive. But I think you should take a look for yourself. Okay, our first question comes by way of voicemail. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, this is the last of the voicemail. I have no idea where this man is calling from, what his name is, or his age. So, there's that.
Is it safe to have annual sex on a daily basis? Please respond.
Well, sir, when you say annual sex, I'm guessing that you really mean anal sex, right? I mean, otherwise your question makes no sense at all. Allow me to direct you to the category drop-down menu in the sidebar of my newly updated site. There you'll find a major category, anal, under which you will find no less than 10 subcategories. Here's what I suggest. Read around. You'll find all the information you need. Of particular interest will be my wildly popular tutorials, Liberating the B.O.B. Within, that's big old bottom, and Finessing That Ass Fuck. One is a tutorial for the bottom, and one is the tutorial for the top. Here's the kind of things you'll find. Number one, always use lots and lots of lubricant. Both water-based and silicon-based lubricants are latex-compatible and highly recommended. Number two, stop immediately if your partner asks you to stop. And I'm not suggesting that you stop trying altogether. Just don't push yourself into your bottom when he or she wants you to stop. Find the source of the problem, lubrication, position, whatever. Resolve the problem and resume the fuck. Take it slow. There's no need to rush, especially if you're experimenting with anal sex for the first time. Number 4, a bottom's desire to be fucked will not ensure pleasurable cornholing. It's nice that he or she might want to surrender their ass, but that's not going to make it happen all on its own. Number 5, always communicate with your bottom. Keep your communication playful and dirty. Tops, be open about what you want and how it's feeling. Oh, baby, that's right. You've got such a tight hole. You want my big meat in your ass. Yes, you do. Open up for daddy, or mama, as the case may be. Get the picture? Spread the pleasure around. Number 6. Keep your hands busy on the bottom's clit, or cock, at least initially, and if the bottom can make the connection between the pleasure he or she is familiar with, cock or clit, with this new butt-related sensations, then the battle is nearly won. In conclusion, some experienced bottoms can orgasm with ass-fucking alone. Women do so through pelvic muscle contractions and G-spot stimulation, men because pressure applied to their prostate. Oh, and here's something you should know. We have 2 sphincter muscles. If you insert a finger about halfway inch into your ass and press your fingertip against the side, you will find them both. There is less than 1/4 inch between them. The external sphincter is controlled by the central nervous system, which means you can tense and relax the sphincter at will. The internal sphincter is quite different. This muscle is controlled by the autonomic nervous system, making it involuntary. This muscle responds to fear and anxiety. It may cause your bottom's hole to tense up automatically, even if he or she is trying to relax. Tops, remember, the rectum is not straight. After the short anal canal that connects the asshole to the rectum tilts outward and to the front of the body, sometimes as much as 90 degrees. That's why some people are anatomically less suited to ass-fucking. Finally, the best attribute a top can have is his or her sense of humor about the whole friggin' deal. Fucking isn't easy as it looks, at least not at first. But perseverance will carry the day. And, to answer your question, sir, yeah, there's no reason why you can't have anal sex every single day. Good luck. Next, we hear from Matt. He writes, "First, I'd like to say hello. And then I'd like to say, I masturbate using women's panties. I like to rub the panties against my penis. I've done this for years. I started doing it using my mother's panties, as strange as that may sound. I bought panties on my own, but now I use some of my mom's panties I found cleaning out drawers since both my parents have both died in the last 5 years, and I got the house I grew up in. Now, is it wrong that I sometimes fantasize about men having sex with me while I'm doing a woman? Does that mean I'm gay? Matt." Hello, Matt. First off, I'm not sure where you get the idea that fetishizing a piece of woman's apparel is a gay thing. A guy rubbing a lady's frilly knickers on his Johnson to get off is more likely a straight guy thing than a gay guy thing. Now, fantasizing about getting buggered by some dude while you're squeezing one off in your mother's mangy old lingerie does, indeed, add a bit of the gay to the whole scenario, don't you know? But does it make you gay? Nope. Behaviors alone don't make anyone anything. Behaviors may indicate something, but they don't make a person one thing or another. In fact, sexual orientation is not a made thing. I mean, jerking off with your old lady's panties while you imagine yourself being ravaged by some beastly man would definitely be a gay thing if you were gay before you started pulling your pud with the undies. Otherwise, it's just an indication that you have way too much time on your hand and that you have a vivid imagination. Here's the deal. Gay is a self-identification. If you're gay, say you're gay. If you're not gay, but you have lots of gay fantasies, then say you're not gay, but that you have a lot of gay fantasies. You may not be totally straight, which I'm sure comes as no great surprise to you, but you're not gay either. Unless, of course, you are. Do you see where I'm going with all this? All of human sexuality is on a continuum. Are you familiar with the Kinsey scale? The dean of the American sex research, Alfred Kinsey, and his associate Wardell Pomeroy, and their colleagues, developed this scale as a way of classifying a person's sexuality in terms of both behavior and fantasy. Zero is exclusively heterosexual with no homosexual behavior or fantasy. Number one is predominantly heterosexual, only incidentally homosexual, most likely in fantasy only. Number two, predominantly heterosexual, but more than incidental homosexual fantasy, for sure, and possibly behavior too. Three, equally heterosexual and homosexual in both behavior and fantasy. Number four, predominantly homosexual, but more than incidentally heterosexual fantasy, for sure, and possibly behavior too. Number five, predominantly homosexual, only incidentally heterosexual, most likely in fantasy only. And number six, exclusively homosexual with no heterosexual behavior or fantasy. These pioneering sexologists also discovered that an individual may be reassigned a different position on this scale at different periods in his or her life. It is conceivable that one could go from a Kinsey zero to a Kinsey 6 in a lifetime, or just a summer in San Francisco. This 7-point scale comes close to showing the many gradations that actually exist in human sexual expression. We are amazing creatures, aren't we? Now get back to humping those nasty old panties and your fantasy about having a big, fat dick up your ass or down your throat. Good luck. Next, we hear from a young woman. I'm guessing she's young. Oh, yes, she is. She's 19. Her name is Selena. She writes, "All right, I'm a younger gal, just about to turn 19. I started being sexually active with guys when I was 16. I've had an A cup ever since I was like 14. They fluctuate a little in size, but wouldn't grow any. Up until just recently, when a guy started to play with my boob, I was never turned on. Lately, though, I've been getting sexually aroused by boob foreplay. Is it just because the guy and the technique? Could it mean that my boobs are finished puberty now, and I have feeling? I just want to know if my boobs are done growing now, and why boob foreplay is a new turn-on. My nipples are inverted, which I've looked up online before, and it's not abnormal, so I already know that. I want to know if that could slightly turn off guys. I mean, what goes through their minds when they see nipples like mine? Thanks, Selena." Hey, Selena. I'm delighted to learn that you've discovered nipple stimulation. It's all the rage these days, don't you know? People of all sizes, shapes, ages, and genders are enjoying their nipples. Our nipples are one of the main erogenous zones on our body, but despite the fact that most of us have two nipples, there are some who are still clueless about the joys to be found right on our chest and the chest of our partners. Nipple stimulation and boob stimulation comes in a vast variety of forms, everything from tit tickle to tit torture. And of course, one person's torture is another person's tickle. I've written a fair amount about this delightful fetish on drdicksexadvice.com, and we've reviewed a bunch of nipple toys over at drdicksextoyreviews.com. Here's an example of what you'll find. I got this letter from this guy named Mark S., who was 47, and he wrote, "I'm intrigued about nipple suction pumps, but can't find much information about their effectiveness on guys. How long do your nipples stay enlarged, and is there any risk or danger in using one of these contraptions? Thanks for any help or directions you can give." And I wrote back to this guy, "Nipple play is fun for both women and men, and there are several ways of enlarging one's nipples. There are low-tech suction devices, metal stretchers, and more high-tech vacuum devices. All these systems are very popular. So I invite you to take a look at My Stockroom, for example. Just search the site using the keywords nipple. Check out the wireless vibrating nipple clamps that'll set you back about $32. Tit tuggers that sell for $125. The titillizer that is only $16.50. A 10-piece cupping set that is $57. And the $8 snake bite kit and a nipple suction device for $18. If you are a casual tit torturer, your nipples will stay enlarged for a few hours. If you are a hardcore tit torturer, you can completely and permanently alter the look and shape of your nipples. Is there a risk or a danger? Not unless you overdo it. Now, Selena, back to you. I invite you to use my site search function in the header and search for tit torture, and a whole bunch of other stuff will come up too. There is a couple of categories of note over on my toy review site. Look for the category pull-down menu in the sidebar. Under the main category, fetish, you will find two subcategories, nipple clamps and nipple enlargement. Finally, I suggest that you not worry about your breast size, darling. Little bitty titties, as well as big giant hooters, all have the same amount of nerve endings in the nipple. And our nipples are a source of pleasure and sensation long before we hit puberty. However, very few people discover the joys of nipple stimulation until they begin to enjoy sex alone or with others. Also, don't worry about your inverted nipples, either. I'd be willing to guess that most guys won't even notice. Most guys are just so happy getting to second base that they rarely notice anything else. That being said, should one of your partners take note, simply tell them that this is one of the ways that you are unique. You could explain that inverted nipples are a natural variation in terms of nipple size and shape. And here's a tip. Be sure to turn your partners on to the joy of their nipples, too. Take every opportunity to initiate some tit stimulation on your male partners. Oftentimes, men don't discover their nipples because their dick is always begging for attention. Good luck. Finally, another one of my outstanding sexual performance tutorials. Today, I present 6 reasons why women don't enjoy sex. You know, there's a lot of women engaging in a lot of sex of all kinds, but a good portion of those women aren't experiencing pleasure along with all that sex of all kinds. Some women go through the motions, some women pretend, and some women do everything in their power to avoid sex. But why? Let's take a look at a few of the major culprits that get in the way of sexual fulfillment and pleasure for women. The first is you're simply not ready. In order to really enjoy sex, your body needs to be ready. Not just mentally or emotionally ready, but physically and biologically ready. Everyone knows when a dude is ready because he's got a big old hard-on sticking right out of the basket. But women are different. While we both have similar sexual response cycles, arousal plateau, orgasm, and resolution. When mapped out, these cycles look very different for each gender. During the arousal phase of a woman's sexual response cycle, blood pools in her genitals and her nipples erect. There is increased muscle tension and vaginal lubrication, and her vagina expands. But that's not all. Her labia engorge, and her breast and clitoris swell. As the arousal phase continues, she may develop a sex flush, a reddish blush over her neck, chest, shoulders, and genital area. As delicious as this sounds, it is just the beginning. The mistake that a lot of women and most men make at this point is to assume that all of this wonderful stuff going on, it's time to fuck. I suggest not. There is more warming up to do. Whatever was going on to trigger the arousal stage needs to continue. All this yummy touching and kissing and whatnot isn't just something most women like, it's something most women need. If a woman isn't lubricating enough, and not all women produce enough vaginal lubrication for penetration, some good personal lube is absolutely mandatory. In fact, even if a woman is super wet at the beginning of sex, a good personal lube should be near at hand, ready for after the fuck begins, because things just dry out if you don't add extra lubrication. Number two, you're feeling guilty. If there's an emotional or psychological impediment to sexual pleasure, sex of any kind, but particularly penetrative sex, will be a disaster. One of the primary reasons a woman may resist or reject an invitation for sex play may be years of mixed and unhealthy messages about female sexuality. If you were subjected to lectures about sluts, whores, and fallen women while growing up, you may now be guilt-ridden about engaging in the behavior that makes a good girl a slut. And if you were told that you weren't supposed to want sex or enjoy sex, then you can kiss the idea of pleasure during sex goodbye. Stop the shaming and the blaming and reclaim your pleasure. The third reason, you're not all that into your partner. Simply put, if the guy who wants to bone you isn't a turn on for you, you won't be enjoying the sex. And there are any number of reasons why he may turn you off. Maybe he's a selfish or clumsy lover. Maybe he stinks, and not in a good way. Maybe he's abusive or demeaning. And maybe he did something to piss you off. Maybe you're just angry with him, or the world. But whatever the reason might be for not being engaged will surely derail your sexual pleasure. The fourth reason, you've got a negative body image. If you've somehow bought into the popular culture's notions about what constitutes feminine beauty, then you've sunk before you've gotten out of dry dock even, so to speak, as it were. If you're measuring yourself against the photoshopped and airbrushed images of women that abound in the media, you're done for. If you're not comfortable in your own skin, with all your flaws and abundances, then kiss that sexual pleasure goodbye. And if you're expecting your partners to compensate for your negative body image, you are burdening him with the unburdenable. Get your shit together about your body and then give your body as a gift to someone. Anything short of that simply won't do. Number five, you're stressed. You know, stress wreaks havoc on everyone's libido. But here's the good news. Having an orgasm is a great way to relieve stress. Anxiety about work and family and home, finances, and the list goes on, will sabotage your desire to have sex and impair your pursuit of an orgasm. At the same time, eliminating stress through an orgasm works wonders. Why not jill off once or twice before the kids and the hubby get home? Trust me, life will be way more bearable if you do. Number 6. You have an underlying or ongoing medical condition. A woman's inability to enjoy sexual pleasure may be associated with an array of physical and physiological factors. Hormone levels, for example, are a big concern. As women age, their body's chemistry changes. Estrogen and testosterone levels fluctuate during pregnancy, breastfeeding, menopause, and when you are on hormonal contraception. The ebb and flow of hormones can greatly affect a woman's libido, as well as her ability to lubricate and enjoy sex. Insufficient blood flow, especially to your pelvis and genital area, can also impact your libido. Obesity, high blood pressure, smoking, and diabetes are also major culprits. Finally, all pharmaceuticals and all over-the-counter medications have side effects. Antihistamines, antidepressants, and even anti-inflammatory meds can and will affect your libido and interfere with the arousal stage of your sexual response cycle. It's important to ask your doctor about all the meds that you take and all their effects on your sex life. Can't talk to your GP about this? Take your concerns to a community clinic or Planned Parenthood. But wait, you don't have Planned Parenthood in your community? Then vote only for people who run on a platform of securing your reproductive rights, because you know what? Your sex life and libido are part of your reproductive rights. Say amen. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for another edition of the Sex Wisdom Series with a very special guest and more sex advice with an edge, with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and DrDicksSexToyReviews.com. Simply put, I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one you just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell ya. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of Dr. Dick's Sex Toys Reviews.com and Dr. Dick's Sex Advice.com, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. So, until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.